right, I invite your attention to the Word of God tonight to 2 Samuel chapter 15, 2 Samuel chapter 15. I also want to mention that if you are mindful, yes, sir, it is. Yeah. Are you 1 Samuel or 2 Samuel? Or 3rd? 1st and 2nd are in the Bible, you must be 3rd. Oh, okay. If you're mindful and would be willing to pray, I have an appointment as well on Thursday at 11 o'clock. Someone who has called me and wants to meet, and somebody that we've talked to in the past about the Lord, and I think the Lord is working in their heart. And so if you just pray that God would have his will and his work would be done in their life, I would appreciate that. 2 Samuel chapter number 15. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 13. 2 Samuel 15 and verse 13. And there came a messenger to David, saying, "The hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom." And David said unto all his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, "Arise, and let us flee, for we shall not else escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring evil upon us and smite the city with the edge of the sword." And the king's servants said unto the king, "Behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint." And the king went forth, and all his household after him. And the king left 10 women, which were concubines, to keep the house. And the king went forth, and all the people after him, and tarried in a place that was far off. And all of his servants passed on beside him. And all of the Cherethites, and all of the Pelethites, and all the Gittites, 600 men which came after him from Gath passed on before the king. Then said the king to Ittai the Gittite, "Wherefore goest thou also with us? Return to thy place and abide with the king, for thou art a stranger and also an exile. Whereas thou camest but yesterday, should I this day make thee go up and down with us? Seeing I go whither I may, return now and take back thy brethren. Mercy and truth be with thee." And Ittai answered the king and said, "As the Lord liveth, and as my lord the king liveth, surely in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be." And David said to Ittai, "Go and pass over." And Ittai the Gittite passed over, and all his men, and all the little ones that were with him. And all the country wept with a loud voice, and the people passed over. All the people passed over. The king himself also passed over the brook Kidron, and all the people passed over toward the way of the wilderness. I want you to take notice of the words in verse number 20. "Should I this day make thee go up and down with us?" And then I want you to notice the answer of Ittai, to whom David said that. "As the Lord," notice it's in all capitals. That means Jehovah. He's recognizing Israel's God. He is not an Israelite. But he said, "As the Lord, as Jehovah liveth, and as my Lord the King liveth, surely in what place my Lord the King shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be. Death or life, up and down. The subject tonight is loyalty. How deep does your loyalty lie? How deep does my loyalty lie? Keep your place here and go with me to the book of Ecclesiastes. So if you can find Psalms, then Proverbs, and then Ecclesiastes. This is very familiar territory, but it's good for us to come here and set the stage at the beginning of this message, because we're talking about going up and down. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Here's the truth regarding your life and mine. To everything there's a season, verse 1, and a time. To every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, that would be an up. And a time to die, that would be considered a down. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. There we see the words down and up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rend, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time of war, and a time of peace. There are lots of ups and downs in human life. David, the king, had known a lot of them. He had been on a tremendous up when he faced Goliath with faith in God and slew him. And the people sang of him that he had slain his tens of thousands. He was definitely on a down when King Saul tried to kill him and began to chase him, and he had to go and hide in the rocks and dens of the mountains in the Judean hillside. Up and down. While he was down, hiding from King Saul, he decided one day, like you and I do, foolishly, that there was nothing better for him than to escape to the land of the Philistines. Nothing better, really? Really? You can trust God to go against the champion of the Philistines and trust God to deliver him into your hand, and there's nothing better for you to do when your own king is after you than to flee into the land of the enemy? Isn't that how we reason? I don't have any choice. There's nothing left, nothing better for me to do. We get discouraged and we're in the down. And so he does. He goes and he says to the king of the Philistines, I shouldn't be allowed to live in your city. Just give me a place out in the countryside. Give me a small place where me and my men can live and dwell here in the Philistines. We've abandoned Israel. That's the picture he painted. So he was given by the Philistines a town called Ziklag. And he's ruling over this town, and they're living in Ziklag, and he goes out to war with the Philistines. He goes out to war against the Philistines. And whenever he does, he makes sure that nobody survives so that nobody can go tell the story. So he's silently, from the midst of the Philistines, killing Philistines. And whenever the king asks him, where have you been? Where'd you go today? Where'd you travel? Where have you been? He says he's been raiding the southern cities of Israel. He lies. And the king is persuaded that David really has turned. Well, to make a long story short, David goes out one day to join the Philistines in going to a large battle against Israel. The wise men around the king of the Philistines said, "This is not right. He doesn't have any business warring with us. Send him back home." The king doesn't want to, but he listens to his men. He sends David back home. So David and his men go back to Ziklag, but when they get there, somebody from another city or town has come and raided their village and burned their city and taken away their wives and taken all of their possessions away. When David and his men get back to Ziklag, everything's gone and everything's burned. And the people want to stone David. His own men want to stone David. And David encourages himself in the Lord. And God allows him to go after them and recover his wives and his family and restore all of the possessions and so forth. Now, David has been king. Eventually, Saul dies. David is anointed king over part of Israel. And then finally, over all of Israel. And now he's been reigning as the king of Israel. He's up. David's life is a series of ups and downs. Ups and downs. And he says here in this passage, this conversation is with Ittai on the occasion of David now going from being up here to going down again. His own son Absalom has rebelled against his father and is stealing the hearts of the people. And David recognizes the difficulty of the situation, so he said, "Let's not stay here and bring heartache to the city of Jerusalem. Let's leave. Let's flee. I'm content to leave the matter in God's hands and trust God to work it out the way that pleases him." But he's definitely retreating. He's definitely on the run. And as he watches these different groups of people come with him and pass over over the river, he notices Ittai. Ittai is the leader of 600 men who were basically Philistines. They were the Gittites. But David had won their heart. And when David was being hunted by Saul, they joined David. And when David became king over all of Israel, they came with David and were his bodyguards, were his mighty men, men who wanted to protect him and preserve his life. So David watches as these men, plus all their families, their little ones, come to go with him, and he stops them. And he says, "Ittai, wait a minute. You're relatively new to Israel. You're not one of us. You're a stranger and an exile." And verse number 19. "Why are you going with us? Return to thy place and unto the king." You know what he's saying? He's saying, "Your place is to support the king, and the king is now Absalom. I'm no longer the king. And you who are in support of the king, I want you to know you're free. You don't have to follow me. Go back and be with the king. Go back to your place and serve the king. You're a stranger, you're an exile. And because you just came yesterday, you're a Johnny come lately, you're a newbie, as it were. I shouldn't be expecting you, nor do I expect you, to go up and down with us." David's saying, "You don't have to be loyal to me. I can't make you do that. There's no requirement, no obligation. If you're doing this because you feel like you have to, you don't have to." And he said, "You may go." And he said, "You'll have my blessing," because he ends by saying, "Mercy and truth be with thee," at the end of verse 20. But Ittai responds and says, "As the Lord liveth, and as my Lord the king liveth, surely in what place my Lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be." Here's what he said. He said, "David, I'm your loyal servant. And if you're up, I'm up. If you're down, I'm down with you. Wherever you are, up or down, that's where I'm going to be. You are not getting rid of me that easy. Ittai is painting a picture for us of what loyalty is all about. And so I want to just challenge you for a moment. How deep is your loyalty? You know, David, of course, is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has promised that David, or the seed of David, will always sit upon the throne. And the Lord Jesus, who's of the seed of David, is going to sit upon the throne in Jerusalem and in fulfillment of God's promises. So in many ways, when we think about David, though David was a sinner and David was not perfect, David is typical of our Lord Jesus. He's the one who faced our enemy for us and slew him in our behalf so that we can enjoy freedom from the bondage to the enemy. So we're going to think, first of all, as we think about loyalty, I want to ask you, how deep is your loyalty in regard to Jesus? David represents to Ittai a redeemer, a savior, the savior of Israel. And he said, I admire you and I am pledged to follow you, and whatever your fortunes are, those are my fortunes. He says, my Lord, the King. You remember when we looked at the book of Philippians and we saw how the Lord is mentioned many times, but one time Paul says, my Lord, and asks you the question, is the Lord your Lord? Is he your master? And he's saying, you are my master. So the picture is a believer, one who has come to regard his life owed to a deliverer, says, the throne belongs to you, not me, and you are my king. Can I tell you that my king is not on the throne tonight? Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying he's not on the throne of the universe, but he's not on the throne here on earth. He has been chased from the throne. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. A wicked, rebelling world has rejected Jesus as being king. Our king is not popular in the world tonight. He's abdicated. He's willingly left the throne for a while. He's promised to come back. Aren't you glad? He's coming back soon. Our king, like David, has felt the sting of the arrows of betrayal from the enemy. He said, mine own familiar friend with whom I ate bread has lifted up his hand against me. My Savior, my King has been betrayed, even as David had been betrayed by his son Absalom. My King, like Ittai's King, has experienced the heartache of being forsaken by those he loved and came to serve. That's my King. And that was the truth of David as well, Ittai's king. My king has felt the sting of the jeering and mocking and spitting crowd. If you were to read on in this passage, as David and his people pass away from Jerusalem and begin to move out into the wilderness, there are some that come out and throw rocks at them and jeer them and mock them and spit on them and make fun of them. So they have done with my Savior, the Lord Jesus. And by the way, so will they continue to do until he comes again. So where am I? Am I going with my king? Am I with him in death and in life? How deep is my loyalty to my king? To the one who owns the throne of my heart? The one who redeemed me from my sin. I can tell you this, my king, like David, doesn't force anybody. he only enlists volunteers. And when David looks at Ittai and says, why would you go with me up and down with me? I can't ask you to do that. Go back. And you're free to do that. He's saying, I don't want you to come because you have to. But when Ittai says, I want to, and no matter what you say, I'm sticking with you, then David said, come on, pass over. Our Lord won't force you to serve him. He won't force you to be loyal to him. There was a time when he was teaching on earth and he said, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? If you go back and study that passage, what he had literally said was everything that you know has been prophesied is going to happen, but it might be a while. And because it will be a while before it all happens, when the Son of Man actually returns, when it actually happens, will there still be those who are loyal to him? Will there still be those who have ridden out the storm? Will there be those that are willing to forfeit the smiles and the favors and the enticements of the world for the sake of befriending Jesus? Ittai was once an idolater. He was a Philistine worshiping idols. And now he says, as the Lord, as Jehovah liveth, he acknowledges that he believes in Jehovah. And so he's been converted, and he says, as the Lord, Jehovah liveth. One day the Lord Jesus lifted me, in the words of the psalmist. He lifted you out of the miry clay and set our feet upon a rock and established our going and put a new song in our mouth. How deep is our loyalty to him? He's not popular in the world today. Is he popular with you? Are you willing to go with him outside the camp? The Apostle Paul says in the book of Hebrews, let us go unto him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. Are you willing? Am I willing? Ittai stands as an example and a challenge to you and I. How deep is our loyalty in regard to Jesus? Number two, I ask you, how deep is your loyalty in regards to, and this is difficult for me, how deep is your loyalty in regard to the leadership God places in your life? So let's leave off David being a type of Christ. David is the anointed king of Israel. Absalom is not. And Ittai says, don't ask me to go back there to him. He's not my king. You are my Lord, and you are my king, and I am loyal to the leadership God has placed over me and put in my life. We are living in a day when men are absolutely disloyal, independent, lovers of themselves, unwilling to follow, unwilling to support leadership, questioning, criticizing leadership. Now, there are times when leadership is wrong, when leadership needs to be rebuked. But the Bible warns us not to speak evil of them. If there is a time when we cannot follow them, then we ought to depart quietly, and we ought to do so with the intent of finding the leader God has placed. But God places leaders and authorities in our life. Children, God has placed your mom and your dad as the authorities, as the leaders in your life. You are to be loyal to them. You are to follow their faith. You are not to question them, but you are to go up with them and down with them. And sometimes our leaders fail us. Sometimes they show feet of clay. Sometimes they're frail. Sometimes they disappoint us, but they're still the people who God has placed over our lives. And in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7 and verse 17, we're told that we're to obey them, those that have the rule over us. We're to follow their faith. They are giving account for our souls. Titus warns us to be subject to authority and to honor those that God has placed over us. You know what Ittai is saying to David? He's saying, hey, God never made Absalom my king. My loyalty is not to a king. My loyalty is to my leader, to my Lord. And you're my Lord. You're my master. The word Lord means master. You're the master that God has placed in my life. I'm not loyal to the king. Others might look at Absalom and say, Absalom is now king of Israel, but I didn't pledge my loyalty to a king. I pledged my loyalty to a person. And that person was God's appointed leader who happened to be the king. Now that he's not the king anymore in the eyes of others, he's still my leader. You're still my Lord. And I'm going to be loyal to you. I'm going to go with you. I'm going to live with you, and I'm going to die with you. I'm going to support you. You can count on me. Loyalty is what will build a church. David's predecessor, Saul, had a band of men who followed him because the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 10 that their hearts had been touched by the Lord. And they followed Saul. They were loyal to him because of the touch of God upon his life. How about David himself? David understands what Ittai is doing because when David had an opportunity to kill King Saul, he refused to do it. He said, I'm not going to touch the Lord's anointed. He may not be treating me well, but he's still God's anointed man. He's still the ruler God has placed in my life, and I still must follow him. Can I give you a couple scriptures to consider? Go with me to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. I said this is very difficult for me to preach because you can easily take it as me suggesting that someone in this room or you are not loyal to me as the pastor of this church. Nothing could be farther from the truth. I'm not thinking that at all. But this is a biblical principle. And I can assure you, if I was a member sitting in the pew of a local church, I would be loyal to my pastor. I'd be loyal to those that God placed in leadership over my life. And by the way, being loyal doesn't just mean you're not disloyal. In other words, it doesn't mean you're out to tear him down or attack him, but it means that you will defend him when others attack him, when others criticize him. There's such a thing as being loyal, not disloyal, but loyal. In other words, I'll be loyal when it suits me. When it doesn't suit me, when I'm not comfortable, I won't. And I won't speak up to defend. I'm not going to attack. I'm not going to hurt, but I won't speak up to defend when somebody else takes that position. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Verse 4. If the spirit of the ruler, the king, the leader, the authority, if the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, how many of you know that happens? Men are not perfect. But if you're faced with a situation where the leadership rises up against you in his spirit, is not fair, is not kind, not just, what does the Bible say? Leave not thy place. If he's the leader, you're the follower. If he's the one that's in charge, you're supposed to be in submission. Leave not thy place for yielding, submitting, pacifieth great offenses. You can say, I have an excuse for not being loyal because he's not been or she's not been fair to me or kind to me, but the Bible doesn't give you that excuse. Leave not thy place, for yielding pacifieth great offenses. Do you know the Bible says that we're not to speak evil one of another? Do you know the Bible says that when we submit to each other, we're supposed to do it as unto the Lord? When we submit to one another, we're supposed to do it as unto God or in the fear of God? How deep is my loyalty tonight to the Lord Jesus? How deep is my loyalty in regard to the leadership God has placed in my life? Number three, how deep is my loyalty in regards to right versus wrong? We're living in a world that is every day finding a way to call something that's wrong right. calling good evil and evil good? How deep is your loyalty to the right? Do you need to read the latest poll in Christianity today to find out how many evangelical Christians actually still believe this truth or that truth? Or do you go to the book and find out whether God says something's right and wrong, and it doesn't matter if 99.9% of professing Christianity says that it's right, if God says it's wrong, where's your loyalty lie? Will you still stand on the side of the right? You know what's right in this case? What's right is for David to rule in Jerusalem. What's wrong is for Absalom to rebel against his father and to steal the hearts of the people. That's exactly what's happening. That's wrong. That's rebellion. That's like witchcraft in the eyes of God. That's wrong. And Ittai says, don't ask me to go back there, because I'm telling you, I'm a loyal man and I'm going to be loyal to what's right. And if the right is going downhill, if the right has to go hide in a cave, if the right is not popular anymore, that doesn't sway me. You're the right one. This is the right side. I'm on the right side. I'm going to stay on the right side. Loyalty to what's right. How deep does our loyalty go? If all the world goes the other direction, where will we go? Do you hear, echoing right now in the background of your mind, the voices of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? O King, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. You want to throw us in a fiery furnace? If that's what you got to do, that's what you got to do. But I'm going to tell you something. We're not bowing down to worship the image that you set up. Why? Because it's not right. God says it's wrong. Yeah, but I'm going to throw you in a furnace. You're going to die. Wouldn't you rather bow and live? They say, no, we would rather obey God, do right, if it means that we have to die. And that's what Ittai says, whether in life or in death. Wherever you are, that's where I'm going to be. Wherever you stand, whatever position you take, that's the position I'm going to take. Dearly beloved, right is always right and wrong is always wrong. And we ought rather to be ready to die for the right than to live for that which is wrong. How deep is our loyalty tonight to the King, to the leadership God has placed in our life, to right? And finally, how deep is my loyalty tonight to my friends? To my friends. Ittai saying, David, you're my friend. You're going to be my friend whether you are in trouble or not, whether you have money or not, whether you sit on a throne or not. I'm your friend. Do you know what the Bible says? The Bible says in Proverbs 17 and verse 7, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. You know when we need our friends the most? When we're down. But you know when we are most likely to abandon our friends? When they're down. When others are against them. When others are finding fault and driving them away, when others want nothing to do with them. But that's exactly the time we prove and demonstrate true friendship. I didn't say it. God said it. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Proverbs 27 and verse 10, thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. How deep is your loyalty to your friends? What is it going to take for you to turn your back on them? What is it going to take for you to say, I no longer am interested? How many of us in this room tonight are like Ruth, who would say to Naomi, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee, whether you lodge I am lodging. Where you go, I'm going. My life is tied in with you. You're stuck with me, whether you like it or not. That's loyalty. Jonathan, the son of King Saul, when King Saul was trying to kill David and was lying about David to the nation, Jonathan believed David. Jonathan stood up for David to the point that Saul tried to kill his own son by casting a javelin at him while at the dinner table. But when David was out in the woods hiding, the Bible says Jonathan went and found him, and he strengthened his hand in the Lord. When his buddy David was down, the one who loved like his own soul, he went down and spent time with him and said, you know what? You got one friend, David. I'm here to tell you, I love you. I believe in you. I want to encourage you. Don't give up. You're on the right side. God hasn't forgotten you. That's loyalty. How deep is my loyalty to my friends? Elisha said to Elijah, when Elijah's getting ready to leave this world, Elijah said, what can I do for you? And he said, I want a double portion of your spirit. He said, well, if you see me, if you're with me when I leave, then he said, you'll get it. And then he tried to get Elisha to stay. He said, look, you stay here. I'm going over here and visiting this place and this place. And Elisha said, I'm having none of that. Wherever you're at, that's where I'm going to be. I'm not taking my eyes off of you. And he stayed with him all the way to the end and was there when the chariot came and picked up Elijah and took him to heaven. That's friendship. Over and over again, the Bible paints a wonderful picture of friendship. And who is a friend like the Lord Jesus, who said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. As a matter of fact, in John chapter 13, John tells us when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, do you know the rest of it? He loved them unto the end. Having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end, to the day he left this earth and went to heaven. And when he did that, he still promised them he would never leave them nor forsake them, and he would come back for them. He loved them unto the end. Paul writes in Romans chapter 16 about this wonderful couple who befriended him, named Aquila and Priscilla. And he makes this statement about them in Romans 16:4. For my life, they laid down their own necks. He's talking about the people that have meant so much to him and how much he appreciates them. And he mentions this couple who, for his life, laid down their own necks, willing to die. You and I are more like Peter, aren't we? Afraid and running for our life, denying our friends or denying our Lord. Paul spoke of Onesiphorus as well in 2 Timothy chapter 1, how that he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. Paul was a prisoner. Paul was falsely accused. They wanted to kill Paul. And Onesiphorus wasn't ashamed to be associated with the prisoner Paul. He often visited him unashamed of his chain. I want to ask you tonight to seriously consider, how loyal are you in regard to your friends? We all have ups and downs. We've had them and we'll have them still. But we need each other as much, if not more, when we're down than we do when we're up. I love the picture that the Holy Spirit has painted of Ittai, the Gittite, the Philistine, the stranger, the exile, who says, I'm having none of that. You're stuck with me, David. I'm loyal. I am loyal to my leader. I am loyal to my friend. I am loyal to what's right. May the Lord help us to be challenged by his example and to say tonight, by the grace of God, I'm going to be a loyal person, loyal to my Lord. No matter what the world says or does, I'm not going to be embarrassed or ashamed. I'm going to stand with him all the way. And when he comes, he's going to find some faith on the earth. I'm still going to be believing. I'm still going to be loving him, still trumpeting him, and still associating with him. And we need tonight to be loyal to what's right, to the leaders God has placed in our life, and to our friends. May the Lord help us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, bless the preaching of your word to the hearts of the hearers. I pray that we not be discouraged, but encouraged by this challenge, that we not feel that we've been preached down to, but that we've been preached to. And we have been challenged to rise up and be men, to quit ourselves, to be strong like men, and to be loyal. Father, it seems to be a lost art. We're lovers of our own self. We're interested in what's convenient for us, what's easy, what we can get out of it. And when that's gone, then we abandon. And it ought not so to be. Help me, Lord. Forgive me and forgive these, your people, where we have been less than loyal, less than true friends. And strengthen us by your grace and through your Spirit to be all that we ought to be, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together with heads bowed and eyes closed. Pianist is going to begin to play. If the Lord is dealing with your heart, I would encourage you to respond. The altar's open if you want to come and pray. If you feel the need to come and confess something to the Lord and ask the Lord's strength and help and blessing, you can right there where you sit determine to be loyal, determined to stand for what's right, to be loyal to the leadership God has placed in your life, to be loyal to Christ in a world that hates him, to be loyal to your friends, that's your wife, your husband, your children, your neighbors, other church members, employers, employees. Love one another as I have loved you, God says. We'll tarry just a moment or so while you deal with the Lord and while we wait before him. I hope you know, and I don't have to say it, that the Lord is loyal. He never abandons his own. He that cometh to me, I will, are you listening? In no wise, for no reason, at no time, I will in no wise cast out. Peter denied him, and the Lord Jesus made breakfast for him and said, "Do you love me, Peter? Feed my sheep. Serve me. Get back in the saddle. I'm not giving up on you. I got great things in store for you." Jacob failed God so many times, and yet when God identified himself, he said, "I'm the God of Jacob." The God of Jacob. He's intensely loyal to his own, and so ought we to be.